I'm Wes Shank, the host of the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast, coming to you from our store in Seymour, Missouri. We hope you'll enjoy our discussions on renewable energy and the products that make that possible. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and we hope you'll subscribe. So we've got Alex Collins here with us today. Alex is the sales manager for Missouri Wind and Solar, and he's going to be sitting here talking with me today. But we're going to talk about preparedness. And just so you know, we're coming to you from our offices in our store here in Seymour, Missouri. We've got Lucy, the company dog, is in here with us. So if you hear barking and growling, that's just all part of the ambiance. If you hear the doorbell ringing, that's just people coming and going. Unfortunately, just with all that's been happening now with the hurricanes and all, we thought that, or Alex thought anyway, that preparedness would probably be a great thing to talk about. Alex, you know, as you've been looking at this, probably the one of the top questions that come up is just, why is it so important? And I think...
Yeah, I think that that is a good question. Why is it so important? The most important reason is it can happen at any time. And it happens out of nowhere. So being prepared is definitely key to...
Right. The events in Puerto Rico and in that general area of Florida and all that, I mean, they saw a lot of that coming. Right. But I think, you know, we're in Missouri and the wind comes sweeping down all the time, and our part-time home is in Alabama and Georgia, and they're constantly hit with tornadoes and all. So let's talk about that for a second. So one of the things that happens and just throws everybody off so much is the loss of power. What are some options for them that Missouri Wind and the energy products, the renewable energy products that we've got, what would be a good solution in that sort of case?
Really, as far as options, the options are endless on what you can power. It's more about what you need to power, really. Most cases, it's going to be lights, radios to communicate, charging cell phones, just basic necessities is really the key thing, I think, that most people should be focused on prepping. Refrigeration is a big thing that's really hard to do. Sometimes in certain situations, you need a little bit bigger system, but I think overall, you can do a smaller system and do all these things. And fairly inexpensive compared to being without.
So if I was wanting to make sure that I had my refrigerator taken care of, yeah. And I gotta say, I don't know right offhand, what's a typical refrigerator pull watt wise? I mean,
anywhere from say 500 watts up to maybe 1,000 watts, and refrigerators don't really kick on and stay on the whole time,
right,
so they're
right.
they're gonna run intermittently, so really they're not a huge draw on of electricity. So realistically, you can power a decent sized refrigerator for, I'd say, at least 12 hours on maybe a 500 watt system.
And if we put together a 500 watt system here, for most of our listeners, everybody's pretty much got the ability to have a solar system.
Sure, yeah.
And so what would a good 500 watt system run?
Price-wise on everything, you'd probably be looking upwards to maybe $2,000 max. That's with batteries, cables, mounting. That's going to be the works.
And, but then what this system would also do, right, would be you wouldn't just roll it out after a storm.
Right. You could definitely, I mean, you could use it in everyday life and use it to offset your electric bill if you needed to. You could use that system daily if you wanted to, and you'd really get a handle on the system and really know the system throughout.
So you grid tie.
Not necessarily grid tie. You'd use it off grid and basically you wouldn't be using that power from the electric company at that point. So
right, but I'm saying so during the non-hurricane event, you could be grid tied.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, and I guess that would be a you could divert that system and make it to be grid tied and get a more of a use out of it that way and a quicker return on your stuff, on your investment.
And then when you had some kind of event, you know, it doesn't even have to be something as devastating as a tornado or a hurricane. We had a recent event where we had a guy clip a telephone pole, and you know, a couple of areas of the town were out of power for a day or two. Now, you know, most current refrigerators and all can handle that just because of the quality of the insulation and all that on them. But still, in the system you're talking about, you could switch it over really by moving a couple of cables, right?
Fairly easily, yeah. Yeah, I guess it goes back to preparing and sustainability kind of work hand in hand, and they kind of go together. So if you're looking one way or the other, sustainability or preparedness, I mean, realistically, they're one and the same. So that's...
Works either way.
Yeah, it works either way.
Okay. So what other systems are we talking about? So we talked a little bit about the solar system. How does wind play into this?
I would say that if you're in an area that has been devastated or there was a natural disaster, generally you're going to have one or the other. You're going to have wind or you're going to have solar. Say if you're getting cloudy weather, the wind's going to be picked up. If say it's really sunny, normally the winds die down a little bit, but they're just two different sources. They really have the same function as far as producing electricity for the batteries, and then you're using power out of the batteries. But I would say that they're both pretty well, they work together.
So can you hook the two systems together? And how would you typically set that up? I mean, what would the...
It'd be a dual system, basically. You'd have the wind turbine probably on one charge controller, solar panels on another charge controller, or you can actually combine the two and run them together on the same charge controller, depending on which one you go with. But they work excellent together.
Now, you're talking about a charge controller. Do I need to be an electrical engineer to be able to put these systems together, or...
Most definitely not. No, yeah, it's really, that piece is really just a regulator for the batteries to keep them from overcharging. You've really got, you know, two leads coming down as far as a positive line and a negative line going to the batteries, and this charge controller is really just going to keep everything from overcharging and be a safety device, basically.
Okay. And is that something that the folks at Missouri Wind, do they help kind of put that together, or do I have to figure all this out on my own?
No, you can definitely call us up. Anybody at the store, they're all familiar with all the terminology, all the products. So if you are needing to, if you had questions about it, you could definitely call us up or email us and we'd be able to put a kit designed specifically for your application. There's really, I think a lot of people think that there's a cookie cutter system out there that everybody's buying the same system, but it's really not so much cookie cutter. It's designed around their needs and what they want to accomplish.
Now, if I had a wind turbine up and the big winds come, we've got the hurricane or whatever, what do I do about my wind turbine? Is it just destroyed? Is it...
I would say if you know there's going to be huge winds coming through, you probably want to look at taking it down or tying the blades off. There are some safety aspects that you want to kind of look out for. In big winds, the solar panels, really, they're not going to come off the roof
comes off the roof.
Yeah, but if it's that case, I mean, it wouldn't, if you knew something big was coming and you had time to do something about it, yeah, you definitely want to take it down and store it for the aftermath.
So prepping and sustainability, how do they come together? I guess this is where we've talked about that you could put these two systems, you could use them in both directions. So you could use it for the storm and you could use it in every day.
Yeah.
What's a homeowner, how challenging is it going to be for a homeowner to put a system in?
It's really, there's a lot of information out there, and some of it may be too technical or just really all around confusing. You may get conflicting information. So I guess a lot of our videos have broken down some of the conflicting information and kind of explained things a little bit more in detail. And we've also got wiring diagrams that go with these systems and show you a start to finish pretty well. Covers everything as far as hook this wire to here, hook this wire to there. And so as far as being able to hook it up, if you've got basic knowledge of it, I'd say any kind of construction background, any kind of electrical background, I mean, it's really not needed. It would help, but really anybody who's more or less a do-it-yourself kind of person can definitely go out there and do this.
Well, I'm sure you probably always need an electrician, though, whenever you're tying into your house, stuff like that.
Yes, you definitely want to have expertise from an electrician come in and give you advice. And if you're hooking into the electric company, you definitely want to have an electrician come in. But if you're doing off-grid stuff, if it's just a small system, you can really play around in the backyard.
I know some of the power companies are really, they get kind of jinky about that sort of thing. Want to make sure.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, no, they're not our highest praise. We don't get our best praise from them because we're cutting in on their business a little bit. So I know one of the differences too that I think I've heard folks around here talk about is just the overall difference between AC and DC and some questions that seem to come up where we've got a lot of. You know, there's a lot of good electricians out there, right? I mean, there's a lot of good guys that you know, wire houses day in and day out and would never take anything away from our fine fellows in the AC area. But there's some pretty significant differences in AC and DC, aren't there?
Oh, yes. There's most definitely big differences between AC and DC power. I think a lot of people think that DC's harder, but... I think AC's is harder because there's so many, you got to follow so many codes with the NEC. You have to really be on point with all of your technical. There's a book about 5 inches thick that you've got to know all the codes and all this. Where DC's really, as long as your wire size is correct and you're using breakers and using safety devices that are in place. I mean, really, there's really nothing to it. Don't cross your positive with your negative.
In wire size, that's one of the things that seems to come up from time to time is you have to have the stranded wire.
Right. On DC circuits, you have to have stranded wire. On AC circuits, you want to use solid core wire. DC travels on the outside of the... of the wire, and AC travels on the inside of the wire.
Yeah, and I know that I've heard this before, so I know that's kind of a simplification.
Yes. Yeah.
So don't send us emails. we know that's a you know, that's to help a lot of people understand. So, but yeah, I know we get some people from time to time that get upset that they buy some solar panels and wire it up with solid wire and then
don't get the results they expect.
Don't get the results they expect and are confused. And,
yeah.
One of the main troubleshooting things is to look at that. And I think we even wandered off topic here, but that's okay. It's our podcast.
Yeah,
we can do whatever we want to. What are some of the other, you know, in looking at the overall preparedness, sustainability, what are some other products that we've got here? I know we've got like the solar ovens.
There's a ton of different products that we specifically offer. the Sun Oven, the SunTac. Really, all it would take is a 100-watt panel with the SunTac and good sunlight, and you can charge phones, you can charge laptops, you can anything under, say, 100. If you've got a 100-watt panel, you're probably looking at charging something maybe around 60 watts, if an appliance is 60 watts or less.
So throw out, because I know a lot of people don't run in the same circles that you and I might. What's some appliances that might fall in that? I mean, your laptop, cell phone.
Yeah, cell phones, radios. Radios is going to be a big thing, especially in a preparedness situation where you need to communicate or you need to hear broadcastings.
Another big thing that you want to check in those situations you may not realize is something like your internet modem.
Yeah.
I mean, even if power's out and that sort of thing, yeah, it's possible that your internet could still be up. But if your modem or your router doesn't have any juice running to it, you're down. And if you had a couple hundred watts of electricity running to it from a solar panel, you might be able to get information that way.
Exactly, yep.
So
we've also got the DC fridge and freezers that run off of 12 and 24 volt. Now that's something, say if something were to happen, you could use a car battery if worst case scenario, and you'd be turn the vehicle on, charge the battery.
Yeah, just pull your truck up.
And you've got refrigeration again. So we've got the DC fans, 12-volt DC fans.
I'll tell you one that I've always been impressed with that we've had, that it's kind of surprising to me that we don't sell that many of, and we've got just not that much call to, is the DC well pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get why anybody would have an AC well, period.
Yep.
I mean, just period, with you having the ability to have that. Because if you've got a well, it's probably, I don't know what the regs are in most places, but it's usually, 25 to 50 to, 100 feet away from your house, because it's got to be so much distance between the septic tank, which
right,
is going to be near your house. So it's going to be
right,
so many feet away anyway. So why would you want to run power out there? You're going to typically have a well house anyway. Stick a solar panel on it. Get one of those. I forget who makes those. They're super brand. I know they're.
There's some German pumps out there.
Yeah,
the Grundfos pumps that you can have them pump into a gravity fed reservoir,
yeah,
with a float. You can have battery storage to where basically you're storing all that power in batteries, and then
they work on the pressure drop. I forget what that's called. Where if you open the tap, it senses the pressure drop and kicks on.
Oh yeah, the line current boosters.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They have those on.
They work on that too.
Yeah. And a lot of those systems, you can go direct from the solar panel straight to the pump, or you can charge a battery.
You go to the battery,
yeah,
and drop it down there.
Yeah.
But I know those are what, $800-$900. I mean, I know they're not cheap, but
yeah,
I'd say
they're anywhere from $800 all the way up to $2,000 to $3,000, depending on how deep the well is. It just depends on
because it's how far it's got to lift the water,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know those are I know those are well made.
Yeah, they're
no
top
pun
of the
intended,
line.
But
yeah.
Those are some super. Products. Anything else you can think of? I'm trying to think what else we've got. We've got so much stuff here,
yes,
in our store in Seymour, Missouri, that you should come by and visit anytime.
Definitely.
Well, not anytime, but Monday through Friday.
I'm trying to think. The SunTac was a really good one, because you don't have to have batteries. It's very portable. You can take it on camping trips. You can take it on just about anywhere.
Yeah, we've got DC ceiling fans. We can,
yep,
keep you cooled off.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. If anybody has any questions or has any input, I guess feel free to contact anybody here at the store and email, phone call.
Yeah, Alex is real simple. He's Alex at mwands.com, mwands.com. You can email him or, you know, go on our website, check out our products. We're going to be trying to produce some more of these podcasts. Let us know what you'd like to learn about. We'd be glad to put anything up that we can. Also check out our videos. We've got a lot of videos. Alex talked about those. We've got a ton of educational videos out on YouTube. And we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. Thanks a lot, and look forward to you guys coming back and listening to us again.